Morning, everyone. Welcome to Hebron Church, Presbyterian Church, and those both in person and online. Wherever you're coming from, whatever you're bringing with you for this week, we pray that you experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. Have 15 or 20 announcements this morning, but we'll get through them. As a Southerner would say, thank you all for who helped us pack the boxes last week for Operation Christmas Child, and for those who donated the goods to make the boxes possible. With your help, we have packed 120 boxes, as you can see across here. Help us prepare the church for Advent on Saturday, November the 15th at 9 a.m. A church-wide tidying day, coffee, tea, and snacks will be provided. We have little cards just to remind you of that in the pew. Join us on Wednesday, November the 19th at 6:30 here in the sanctuary for a community Thanksgiving service. We are partnering with Byrd Presbyterian Church and Providence Presbyterian Church to worship and give thanks to God. The offering collected that day will go to the Goochland Cares Food Bank. Invite your friends and neighbors. We hope to see you here. Following worship today, there will be a congregational meeting to elect the next class of ruling elders and deacons. After the postlude, please stay in your pews for the meeting. And last but not least is join us following a congregational meeting in Holman Hall for the second Sunday prayer luncheon. Now, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you, Marcus. Please rise and join me as we're called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
In the name of heaven and earth.
The Lord is our strength and our might.
God has become our salvation.
This is our God, and we will praise him.
The God of our ancestors, and we will exalt him.
To all who mourn and long to be comforted, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior, Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, welcomes you here and greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you are our strength and might. You have become our salvation. For while we were wandering in the wilderness far from home, you met us there in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He overcame where we failed. He confronted our sin and gave us peace and life forevermore. And he has gone ahead of us through his sacrificial love to bring your kingdom into our midst. And so we bless and praise you, our God and King. Meet us here today, we pray, and bless our worship with tokens of grace and words of comfort and healing. And as we worship you, unite us to one another in faith, hope, and love. All to the praise of your name, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Remember that our Lord Jesus can sympathize with us in our weakness, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with boldness approach the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in this time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbors. Merciful Father, you are in all we truly repent and turn to you. confess and ask your mercy. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone. We do not love you with our pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not done justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with you. Have mercy on us, O God. Do not cast us away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and sustain us with your bountiful Spirit, all for Christ's sake.
Amen. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Nicene Creed. Christians, what do we believe?
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I'd like to invite any children forward for our children's message.
Gosh, my usual spot's gone. You want to come sit right here or sit right here? That's great. Okay, come sit down, come sit down, come sit down. Good morning. We're going to read a story today called God is My Shepherd and I Am His Lamb. This is based off of Psalm 23. So can you see all the pictures here? Can you see who I see? It's good. Okay. Hey, everybody. Know who I am? Do you know who that is?
No, I don't either.
God's my shepherd. I'm his lamb. What if it stops raining and all the rivers go dry? What if crops quit growing and the farmers don't know why? What if stores are empty and there's nothing left to buy? I'll never worry. God meets my needs. He makes the raindrops and he grows the seeds. Do you see him growing the seeds? Whenever there's no room for me to sit on mommy's lap, I fall into a fussy, cranky, crabby kind of trap. Does anybody know anything about that? But I'm okay if I just pray and maybe take a nap. Then I remember who I am. God's my shepherd. I'm his lamb. People get so busy, they rush from here to there. Hurry, scurry, make me worry, running everywhere. But I can find a quiet spot. I sneak away in prayer, whispering, Jesus, here I am. You're my shepherd. I'm your lamb. Can you see him praying in the treehouse? I can run and jump and dive and tumble, throw and kick. But even I get tired or might get hurt or sick. Yet when I turn to Jesus, I feel better mighty quick. God has made me like I am. He's my shepherd. I'm his lamb. I could take so many roads. I know there's lots at stake. For one path is the right path, and the other ones are fake. But with the Bible as my map, I know which road to take. For on God's path is where I am. God is my shepherd. I'm his lamb. Sometimes I get frightened, and I lie awake at night. While lightning flashes, thunder crashing, nothing feels all right. But I know God's beside me, and he turns the dark to night, to light, to light. Because God is everywhere I am. He's my shepherd. I'm his lamb. Do you see he's holding a little lamb there? What if I am playing and a bully comes my way? I'm much too small to fight him off if he won't let me play. But God is so much bigger. I will always be okay. And all will see whose kid I am. God's my shepherd, and I'm his lamb. If a guy makes fun of me, hey, buddy, you're too slow. He takes my cookie, leaves me none, and shouts, get out, now go. But God prepares a feast for me, and soon that guy will know. Jesus loves me like I am. God's my shepherd. I'm his lamb. Cats and dogs and pollywogs, father, sister, mother, grandpa, grandma, all my friends, even little brother. Blessings, blessings everywhere. And now, here comes another. Who's a blessing? Hey, I am. God's my shepherd. I'm his lamb. What if, when I'm bigger, I forget the God I know? Will he come and find me? Keep on searching high and low? Yes, even when I'm all grown up, my God won't let me go. God will know just where I am. He's my shepherd. I'm his lamb. From now on and for all time, because of Jesus' grace, I'll have heaven for my home, because God saves me a place. Living with my shepherd, I can love him face to face. I'll be with the great I am. He is my shepherd. I'm his lamb. Okay, do you know that all of you, God is your shepherd, and your shepherd, and your shepherd, and your and mine, and grandma's shepherd, and mom's shepherd, and dad's shepherd, all these people, and he loves each of you just as you are. Do you know God loves you? That's good. Let's pray together. Can I see your prayer hands? This is a repeat after me prayer. Ready? Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for showing us.
Thank you for showing us.
How much you love us.
How much you love us.
That no matter what.
That no matter what.
You'll always be with us.
You'll always be with us.
Because you are our shepherd.
Because you are our shepherd.
And we are your lambs.
And we are your lambs.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We pray.
We pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can go back to your seats or to the fellowship hall.
Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our helper, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led in your truth and taught your will. Then may we praise you by listening to your word and by obeying it. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. As you may know, the first four books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, what the Jewish people know as the Torah or the Tanakh. You're going to be good Bible scholars by the end of this sermon. The Torah or the Tanakh really map the beginning and the formation of God's people. It starts with God in the beginning making the whole world, making humanity as the people with which he desires to dwell. But then people break that relationship, and so they are separated from God. Then the rest of the Tanakh, the Torah, and even through the rest of the Old Testament into the New Testament, is about God's continual action trying to dwell again with God's people. And so as we enter the reading in Deuteronomy, we are towards the end of the Torah. And this book of Deuteronomy is basically an extended speech of Moses's giving the final commands of the law and speaking God's final word as the people move into the promised land. And so let us listen to God's word as it comes to us from Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in the first verse. The entire commandment that I command you today, you must diligently observe, so that you may live and increase and go in and occupy the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether or not you will keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The clothes on your back did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a parent disciplines a child, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It has been said that all great stories are about home. A person leaves home to go on a journey, or struggles to return home after being away, or fights to defend one's home from an enemy. From the Iliad and the Odyssey to Tom Sawyer and the Hobbit, our stories are shaped by the concept of home. Now, I think that this speaks to a great disquiet in the human heart, that somehow we are not where we are meant to be, and we're always searching for this place called home. And even if we have a safe place that we call home with family or friends, there are moments even there when things aren't going right, when we yearn for a different home, a place of true rest. The Bible, which is probably the ultimate story about home, traces this disquiet and yearning in the human heart back to the creation of the world and to the Garden of Eden. You see, God made humanity from the dust of the ground and placed them in the garden, which was the embodiment of God's life-giving power and provision. The garden represented God's life in humanity. There, in the garden, humanity was meant to flourish under God's care, listening to God's voice and reflecting God's glory. We, all of us, were made for the garden. Yet later, humanity was deceived, listening to another voice into thinking that they could provide for themselves, live on their own terms, free from God. And as a result, all humanity, from Adam and Eve down the generations, even to us, found themselves in the wilderness, exiled from the garden home for which we were made. The wilderness represented separation from the life of God. So as we are aware of this reality, this is the framing narrative of the scriptures, as we read now the story of Moses leading the people out of slavery in Egypt, we may ask ourselves, why did he lead them so long in the wilderness instead of going straight to the promised land? God had promised the people a new garden home, a place that was meant to be the new Eden on earth, a home in a good land, the scripture tells us, a land with flowing streams, a land of wheat and barley, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing. He promised to lead them to a land where they would find again flourishing life with God. However, even up to our reading today, they are not there yet, but had spent over 40 years in the wilderness, the place that represented separation. So why so long? In our reading, Moses answers our question, and he says this: remember the long way that the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. You see, the Israelites had not only been away from Eden for so long, like all of humanity, but they had also been born and raised and formed under bondage in Egypt. They had lived in Egypt's way. They thought in Egypt's terms. They looked at the world through the lens of bondage in Egypt. God had promised to lead them to a garden land, yet they were not a people formed for the garden, but formed for Egypt. They had to learn what it meant to trust God, to be garden people, as it were. And so God taught them in the wilderness. Lutheran pastor and illustrator Dan Erlander terms this time in Israel's history as the wilderness school. There were lessons that the people needed to learn if they were to pass muster and graduate to the promised land. And the greatest of these lessons, we are told, was trusting God to provide for their needs. Moses tells the people, God humbled you by letting you hunger, and then by feeding you manna. God had promised to provide manna in the wilderness so the people would never go hungry. God then commanded that they would only gather enough for each day and twice for the Sabbath, just enough for them and all their families. And those who gathered extra, who thought they could take a little more for themselves, found that the extra spoiled by sunrise. In this way, the people would learn not to hoard for themselves or to think it was in their power to provide, but to trust God, that God would give them everything they needed. To understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, at the root of this lesson and all the lessons of the wilderness was God's ultimate promise. His ultimate promise that as the people listened to his voice and trusted in his ways, he would always be with them. He would always be with them. He would be their God, and he and they would be God's people. And for a time, as they came out of the wilderness, this is the way they lived. They lived as garden people, making their new home in a beautiful garden land in Canaan. But soon, just like our first parents in Eden, the people turned, imagining that their abundance came from their own efforts, or worse, from other gods. They forgot the Lord and began to live in idolatry and in violent injustice, leading ultimately to their exile again in the wilderness, but this time in Babylon. They failed both in the garden and in the wilderness and in their new garden land. Now, if the story ended here, Christians would be a real sorry lot, because the great homegoing story of the Bible would actually be rather pessimistic. The people failed and we fail, so that must be the end of it. However, what we know from the rest of the story is that God remained committed to bringing his people to a new garden home, where we failed to hold up our end of the bargain. God held up his end anyway. He was committed to being with us always, even and maybe especially in the wilderness. So in the fullness of time, God met us again in the wilderness, but this time in a new way, as Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness like Israel long ago, tempted by the same desires to stop trusting God and to live on our own terms. Yet he overcame. He succeeded where we failed. He listened to God's voice alone. Then Jesus came to the people announcing that God's new garden, God's kingdom home, was breaking into the world. He met people who were in their own kind of wilderness through sickness, disease, hunger, oppression, and he gave them gifts of kingdom life, healing, and feeding and making whole. And finally, through his cross, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus went ahead of us to open to all of us that future garden home and to bring it into our world. Now, we are not in that garden home yet. In a way, we are more like Israel wandering in the wilderness. It can be harsh and even dangerous. Our world is broken. We see hatred and violence and injustice all around. We live with our own wilderness experiences, whether grief or sorrow, sickness or pain. But the good news of the gospel to us today is that through whatever our wilderness may be called, Jesus promises to be with us, to never abandon, never forsake us, and instead to give us all that we need to flourish. Maybe not all that we want, but all that we need. And as he is working to bring God's garden kingdom into the world, Jesus invites us to trust, to listen to his word alone, and to follow, and so be transformed into garden people. My friends, Jesus is calling you today to practice being garden people, even in the wilderness. So every time you choose love over hate, peace over violence, justice over injustice, every time you find hope in grief, wholeness in pain, every time you listen to the voice of God over the voices of this world, you are being reformed again and again into the garden people God created you to be. We are all in the wilderness, yet we are in it together, united by the promise that as God's people, Jesus will be with us every step of the way, and he is leading us to our garden home. So let us not turn back, but trusting God and listening to his voice alone, let us live as the people God created us to be, and so find our story's end in our everlasting home. Amen. Let us pray our prayer of discernment together. Lord, show us your will for Hebron and how you are calling me to serve. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, our provider and deliverer, you meet us in the wilderness of our lives with your grace and give to us all we need to be transformed and flourish as your garden people. Help us amid the various paths and many voices in our world to walk in your way and listen to your voice and so find life eternal. Hear us, your people, as we lift up our prayers in the wilderness. Father of mercies, we see the hatred, violence, and injustice around us, within us, and we cry out, "How long, O Lord?" Bring an end to our warring, heal our brokenness, mend our divisions, that your justice and peace would reign in every land. Especially, O God, we lift to you today the nation of Sudan. Bring an end to their fighting, to the violence, that peace may be had, that all players would come to the table. Let your church in that nation shine as a light, preaching peace and goodwill. Lord, we pray, have mercy. We pray for this nation. As we have elected new leaders, and as we look towards the future, help us to walk according to our values. Help us to stand firm in the truth of loving you and loving our neighbors. And in that spirit, help us not to feed into division, but to seek the common good in every place. Help us especially to love our neighbors who are in deep need. Help us to provide food and care. And show us those avenues through which we can serve the least of these. We thank you for those organizations like Goochland Cares and others that are providing for this community. Help us to support them with our prayers, with our resources, and with our time. Blessed Jesus, God with us, in your life you reconciled humanity. By your death, you freed us from our sin. And in your resurrection, you inaugurated God's garden kingdom to come. Grant that we would hear your call and so follow. Give us courage to live and to proclaim faithfully your gospel to all the world. Especially we pray this day for the church in Somalia. Help them to flourish among persecution, to make disciples of depth, and to so be a light to their nation and to the world. We pray for the church in the United States. Renew and revive us, we pray. Let your Holy Spirit be among us that we would embody your gospel and so proclaim your goodness and love. Help us not to be co-opted by the powers of this world, but to embody your kingdom until it comes. Especially we pray for this church which you have called Hebron. Show us your way and help us to walk according to your will, that we may not live by our own agendas, but by the agenda of Jesus. Holy Counselor, you alone can bring healing. You alone can bring abundance out of scarcity. Move among us and have your way. We commend into your care all those who suffer this day in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we name before you in this quiet moment. O Holy Trinity, we lift to you these our prayers, trusting that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine. For we make our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Even in the wilderness of our lives, God gifts us with abundance. So showing our trust in him as our provider and with grateful praise, we offer our life and labors to the Lord.
O Lord our God, you gave manna to your people in the wilderness and taught them to recognize you as their source and provider. In gratitude and faith, we offer these gifts out of the abundance you give. Bless and multiply them for the work of your church. Especially, we dedicate these boxes, these Operation Christmas Child boxes. May they go out to whoever they may meet with love and care from us to them. And in all our living and working, help us, O God, to know you as our sovereign provider. In Jesus' name, amen. To stay in this room after the postlude for our congregational meeting, and then we will move down the hall to Holman for a lovely turkey dinner provided by the choir. My friends, we are all in the wilderness, but we are in the wilderness together, united by the promise that Jesus will be with us every step of the way, and he will lead us home. So go from this place in that truth to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever. Amen. Now we move into our congregational meeting as our clerk comes over here. Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
We do.
We do have a quorum. So I call this congregational meeting to order. Let us pray. Gracious God, you tell us and give us gifts to order our lives so that they may accord with your will. Help us in this, the work of church government, to order ourselves for the mission of God in the world. Give us wisdom and discernment, and let your Spirit be with us as we make the decisions today. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You will get a handout from the ushers. Today, our sole business is the election of the next class of elders and deacons. So I'll wait for those to be passed around so that you can see. It's just a little bit of biographical info. There's no voting. It's not a voting slip. It's biographical info on those who are being nominated and put forward by the nominations committee. As if you remember, our nominations committee has been made up of four people, myself as a de facto member, Nancy Michael, Eileen Ford, and Barb Young. And we have come together in prayer and determined who is God calling to the next, to be an officer in the church. Does everyone have a handout? Some of you may be on the handout.
Good morning. I would, representing the nominating committee, I make the motion to nominate Tom Doyle for elder for Hebron Presbyterian Church.
As this comes from a committee, it does not require a second. However, I would open up nominations from the floor. If you are nominating from the floor, you must have asked that person beforehand, and they probably need to be here today. Are there any nominations from the floor?
Move the nominations be closed.
Second.
You guys are good. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, all opposed? Okay, so now we have before us the motion to approve the election of Tom Doyle as an elder at Hebron Presbyterian Church. All those in favor, raise your hand. Okay, you can put your hands down. All those opposed, same sign. We have elected Tom Doyle as the next class of elder at Hebron Presbyterian Church. Let's give him a round of applause. He is away at a family function today, so if you are online, Tom, congratulations.
Again, representing the nominating committee, I make a motion that we nominate Mary Austin and Paula Curl and Kirk Powers, who all three are here, for deacons for Hebron Presbyterian Church.
As this comes from a committee, it does not require a second, but I would open nominations from the floor. Are there any nominations for the office of deacon? Seeing none, we'll close nominations. One thing to note, both Paula and Mary are re-upping, as it were. They can do two back-to-back terms, and this will be their second term. So all of those in favor of electing those nominated, please raise your hand. Okay. All those opposed, same sign. Mary, you can't not vote for yourself.
No, I didn't.
Okay, we have elected our next class of deacons, Mary Austin, Paula Curl, and Kirk Powers. Let's give them a round of applause. Since that concludes the business for this meeting, we will close with prayer. Yes, let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you have given your gifts and called people to serve in the church. We especially pray over those whom you have called to the offices of elder and deacon. Grant that they would be imbued with your spirit and so help in the running and governance of your church, all in accord with your will. We also pray for the meal that we are about to receive. Bless it to our nourishment and bless our fellowship together, that we may be sharpened to be your garden people. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This meeting is adjourned. Please join us in Holman Hall.
What were you asking?